We are continuing on this series we've been in for a couple of weeks now of following Jesus and what that really means in real life. We've titled the series, Walking the Narrow Dirt Path. Jesus' teaching, if you read what's in the Gospels, Jesus' teaching the same session with tons of people around, there would be people who found what he taught offensive and would walk away, and there were people who were enthused at what he taught. He was very polarizing in what he said. Often what Jesus taught was hard to hear, hard to understand, and even harder to follow in life. On one occasion, Jesus' teaching was so challenging that after he finished the talk, the Bible says that the people who listened started arguing with each other about what he really meant. And many of his disciples looked at each other and went, "This is very hard to understand. How can anybody accept it?" And with that, a whole lot of the people who heard that teaching decided to walk away and not follow Jesus anymore. This morning, we're going to take a look at one of those really tough passages. Now, let me give you a spoiler alert. We're not going to end the message with this warm, fuzzy, feel-good thing in our heart from what Jesus says. But what we will leave with is the honest truth about what he said it will take to follow him. Here's what he says in this passage from the Gospel of Matthew. If you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself the things you think you want. You have to pick up your cross and follow me. And the person who wants to save his life, well, he's going to have to lose it. And she who loses her life for me will find it. Look, Jesus says, does it make any sense to truly become successful and then hand over your very soul? And then he asks a really tough question. To you, what is your soul really worth? So it's pretty clear in Jesus' words, in just this short little section of Scripture, he's laying it all on the line. He's just telling the honest truth about what it's literally going to cost people to follow him. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and lose the life you've carved out for yourself. So in my mind, if Jesus is trying to do a recruitment speech to the large audience that's around him and get them to follow him, this is a really bad approach. Because he's just being truthful about it. These short, pungent sayings he gave to us to clearly spell out in detail the personal investment that's going to be required if we want to follow him. Now, I know that I'd like to believe that what he was saying was really just focused on the people in, like, close to him that he was talking to in that day, that it was literally just for maybe a couple dozen of the followers who were really going to suffer and go through hardships because of their faith in him. But history records that being a Christ follower under the Roman rule was not easy. In fact, 11 of the 12 who were his first followers would eventually lose their life because of their faith. And yet, this teaching wasn't directed only to them. Jesus included everyone in the audience. He included everyone who at any point would choose to follow him. So nobody gets to opt out of this teaching. Nobody gets to pick and choose which parts they want to follow and which they want to ignore if they really want to follow Jesus. So let's dig into the passage. I think there are three core ideas from this passage that I would pull out for us this morning. And the first of those is this: following Jesus means we're going to face some tough choices in life. I really do love the way that the Voice translation paraphrases this verse when it says, if you want to follow me, you must deny yourself the things you think you want. One of the people in Scripture who best embodies that verse is Joseph of Arimathea. Now, if you don't know who he is, that's okay. He comes up only once in all of the New Testament. Joseph of Arimathea only shows up in the gospel narratives on the day that Jesus was crucified. Well, the Gospels tell us that Joseph loved Jesus, that he loved his teaching, that he was doing his best to follow Jesus. He was simply afraid to expose his faith for the consequences it would have in his life. John actually describes in his gospel, he describes Joseph of Arimathea as a secret disciple. You know, sounds a little like cloak and dagger, espionage kind of thing. He was just a secret disciple. But the truth was that he hid his faith. For him, it was purely just a private thing. And he did that because he feared the ruling body of the nation of Israel, which was the Sanhedrin. He feared them because he was one of them. And he knew that if he went public with his faith in Jesus, that he would lose everything. He would at very least lose his position and his power and the prestige that went with it. But he most likely would also lose his friendships, and he might lose all the wealth that he had accrued. You know, I honestly believe that God is going to put you and me in situations in our life where we have to choose. And it's a clear choice sometimes that we have to choose either loving and following Jesus or loving ourselves. At Jesus' trial, Joseph was pushed to that point. On that day, Joseph's silence gave way to boldness. And when the Sanhedrin was concocting this plan to accuse Jesus and arrest him and have him killed, Joseph of Arimathea was the only dissenting voice in the room. And the Bible says he strongly disagreed with their actions and their decisions. And on the day Jesus was crucified, it was Joseph of Arimathea who went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. That was a really bold decision for Joseph. Bold because in the Roman Empire, complete humiliation is what the crucifixion was all about. And so when the person was dead, they would take them down from the cross. They were denied a family burial. They were denied the rights of the Jewish faith. They were denied any rights. And their body was literally taken to the town dump and thrown into the dump with all the other trash. That's how the Roman Empire treated people who were crucified. And yet, when Joseph went to ask for Pilate's body, he knew he was taking this big risk. He knew that for the first time, his devotion to Jesus would be on full display. And so according to Jewish custom, he wrapped the body of Jesus. He took him to a freshly cut tomb that he had purchased for himself, and he placed Jesus' body there. He was breaking Roman practices. He was publicly going against the Sanhedrin. And yet, I can't imagine there was ever a day in Joseph of Arimathea's life where he looked on the decisions he made that day with regret and wished he would have done it differently. He set his fears, he set his prestige, he set his position aside. He gave up the life he thought he wanted. He took a risk, a huge risk. And his story makes me wonder, when you and I are pushed to a decision point in our lives, what will we choose? Will we choose a love for Jesus or a love for ourselves? Following Jesus down that narrow dirt path means that we will face tough choices in our life. And at some points, we may have to give up something we think we want or something we think we need. And here's the really unfair part about that. The stuff that I have to give up is probably going to be very different than the stuff that you have to give up in order to follow Jesus. Second core idea in this passage is following Jesus means I will have my own cross to carry. Jesus isn't using this image like we do today in our culture to give the idea that there is some human experience that we're having in carrying it through life. It's not meant to, if you've heard people use the phrase, well, this must just be my cross to bear. They're typically saying that about a financial hardship or some illness or disease they're going to have the rest of their life or some family member they're going to have around for the rest of their life. Anybody got any of those? Yeah, that's my cross I have to bear. But as funny as that is, I think it cheapens what Jesus is really saying here when he says you're going to have to pick up your cross. Crucifixion in the Roman world was reserved for the most rebellious criminals that were tried and convicted. Crucifixion was taking up your cross in a very public way. Crucifixions weren't a private thing done inside some facility for execution. They were on public display outside the city of Jerusalem and all throughout the Roman Empire. A crucifixion showed everyone that though this person has rebelled against authority, this condemned person is now so completely conquered that their last act in life will be to pick up the instrument of their demise and carry it to their place of execution. To carry one's cross in the Roman world was a show of complete and utter submission. That's what Jesus is saying here. When he calls us to carry our cross and follow him, it's a call for us to be completely surrendered to whatever his will for us is in our life. It's to be completely surrendered to the commands that he gives, whether we understand them or not, to be submitted to his leadership in our life. And staying in that place of surrender, it's going to be a lifetime struggle. This act of submission, I think, is so important to our faith and so hard to carry it out that Luke and Mark, in their Gospels, record this saying of Jesus, but they add one little word that reminds us how tough it is. Luke and Mark say that you have to pick up your cross daily. Because we know, once we've identified that cross, we want to take it off and set it aside. We forget about it. We choose our will over surrender. This picking up the cross is not an occasional call to pick up our cross. It's not a seasonal call to pick up our cross. Jesus calls us to pick up our cross every single day as a part of following him. It's a call for us to be fully submitted to Jesus. And cross bearing, it's going to be a daily decision to follow Jesus, regardless of what it might cost us. Maybe the best explanation that I found in my study of how to explain these two very simple but profound ideas of denying ourselves and picking up our cross is found in a little book towards the near the end of the New Testament called Titus. And it literally was written to a young man named Titus who was leading a church. Paul was mentoring him, and so he sends him these words, and I think they describe this well. Paul writes, "Grace arrives with its own instruction. Run away from anything that leads us away from God. Abandon the lusts and the passions of this world. Live life now in this age with awareness and self-control, doing the right thing and keeping yourself holy." I think, honestly, Paul went into great detail, but that first phrase says it all. Run away from anything that leads us away from God. This may be the toughest thing that Jesus ever said. Pick up your cross and follow me. To take up our cross means we're going to treasure Jesus more than we treasure human approval, more than we treasure our personal professional success or our personal accomplishments. We're going to treasure Jesus more than we do our comfort in life or even our life itself. This kind of a life is the life where we're willing to do whatever Jesus asks, whenever he asks it. That is losing ourselves on the narrow dirt road. Jesus concludes his teaching with this summary. The person who wants to save his life must lose it. And she who loses her life for me, she'll find it. Look, does it really make any sense to truly become successful and then to hand your life, to hand over your very soul? What is your soul really worth? When I read that verse and all these verses put together, I think the third core thing is at the heart of it all. following Jesus means I'm going to have to shift the center of gravity in my life. I have to move from a concern for myself to a reckless abandon for God's will for me. And if I'm honest, that feels hard. When I sit and think about that in my mind, I sometimes wonder if that means I'm going to have to live my life without any sense of joy or happiness. And that's not what Jesus is calling us to at all. In fact, a few chapters later in the book of John, Jesus says, look, I've come that you could have a life full of joy and abundance. So when we yield ourselves to God's will in our life, when we submit to his commands, then we shift our center of gravity from what I want to what God wants for me. And that is when we begin our best life. I mean, think about Jesus' first followers. Seriously, the first ones he called, Peter and Andrew, James and John, two sets of brothers. Each family had developed this successful fishing business, and I imagine they had a life carved out for themselves. They were going to build their business. They were going to stop doing the fishing, have fishing people fishing for them. It was a thriving business that they were in when Jesus called them. Then look at Matthew. Matthew had found wealth and status and success in his career as a Roman tax collector. Think about how radically, just for these five men, their life changed when they accepted Jesus' call to come and follow him. These men, I believe, would have otherwise lived very quiet lives in small towns. They would have never done the things they did once they followed Jesus fully and found their best life. They traveled all over the known world, from the Middle East and Israel. They traveled to Egypt. They traveled to what we know now as Russia and Turkey. They traveled to Rome. They traveled to Spain, spreading the good news of the grace and the love and the forgiveness that can be found in Christ. And I doubt any of those men, even as they were being executed, regretted 1 minute of that decision. Now, I don't think this morning as we sit here that Jesus is asking us to sell everything we own. I don't think Jesus is asking all of us to empty our bank accounts and just live in trust for him. I don't think he's asking all of us to give up our careers. He's not asking all of us to make radical changes in order to follow him. It's not likely that he's asking that of all of us, but he may be asking it of some of us. Jesus is calling all of us to a radical commitment of following him. He's asking us to change how we live our everyday, ordinary life. And it's tempting to think that it really was just for those first followers. But when Jesus says, anyone who wants to follow me, that kind of takes out the loophole, doesn't it? It applied not only to his 12 apostles, it applied to everyone listening to his teaching. It applies to all followers from that point forward, including us. Anyone who would follow Jesus must deny themselves, take up their cross, and lose their life if they want to find a better life in him. In the end, following Jesus is really not just about the love we feel in our heart for him. Following Jesus is about a love that's reflected in our actions. And I believe God's going to put us in situations where we come face to face with that deliberate choice that we have to make. Do I love Jesus more than I love myself? Do I love my life as it is, or do I love my life with him? And it's in the choosing that we lose ourselves on that narrow dirt path. When we choose to do the hard things in this life, when we choose to step into the void that no one else is willing to fill, because God is stirring our heart. When we choose to be inconvenienced and follow Jesus wherever he leads us in this life. You know, I get it. These are deeply personal decisions we have to make, we have to wrestle with. The thing is, they're not optional. We have to wrestle with them if we really want to follow Jesus. And they are going to cost us something. Probably something we're not even thinking about in this moment. But Jesus says when we refuse to think about those things, when we refuse to count the cost, we are gambling with our very soul. When we choose a life whose success is defined by the culture rather than by Christ. But in the end, it is still your decision if you want to follow. It doesn't make any sense, really, to follow Jesus half-heartedly, to hold tightly to the stuff this world values, and in the process, lose our soul. So you really do have to ask yourself this morning, what's the price of your eternity? What is your soul really worth to you? Make the choice. Wrestle with it. Because as we decide to wholeheartedly follow Jesus, we do so knowing that most likely we'll have to make tough choices, knowing that when we choose, we know fully that what Jesus is going to ask of us is going to take a lifetime of work. And we're going to do it a few steps forward some days and a few steps backwards on others. When we choose to follow Jesus with all of our heart, we know that he sees our struggles. He feels our pain. He sees every step that we take. And one day, he promises, he will come in his Father's glory with all his heavenly messengers. And then he will reward every person for what they've done, for the choices they've made in their life, for the actions they've taken in following him. And he promises on that day that that cross we've been carrying, he's going to lift it from our shoulders. He's going to wrap his arms around us and say, "Welcome home."